I believe this morning we will be able to exactly locate ourselves where we are and find out exactly what God meant when He raised Jesus from the dead. So we're going to go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read from verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we're going to go to some other places, but I want you to just put your marker in there because we're coming back to this chapter a little later on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, as in Adam all die. He's talking about spiritual death. Do you know that Adam, when God said, when he disobeyed God, God said, if you disobey me, then you'll die. But he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. Now death simply means separation. When you die, when your body dies, it just means that your spirit separates from your body. But your spirit never dies. But Adam, when he was separated from God, All that goodness that flowed from God to him was gone. All the peace, all the revelation that God imparted to him, suddenly gone. Adam was alone. He was separated from God. Paul in the New Testament calls it, he's alienated from God. God became a foreigner to him. He had no contact with God. He was cut off from God. And this is what Paul means when he says, For as in Adam all die, every one of us not only died in Adam, we were born dead. We were born dead. Here's the law of Genesis. Kind produces kind. Goats produce goats. Corn produces corn. Man that's dead, cut off from God, produces children that are dead and cut off from God. And that's the problem that we have. It's not so much the little sins you did here or did there. The fact is that you're born from a man that's spiritually dead. Cut off from God. No relationship with God. Running away from God. Doesn't want to hear from God. That is our forefather after the flesh. That's every one of us came out of him. Every one of us. So, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. So let's talk about the first Adam a little bit. First Adam was, as we know, someone that was made in the image of God. Some people struggle with that. But remember, when God made him, God is spirit. Jesus spoke with the woman at the well and he said, God is spirit. God doesn't have a body like we have. He's a spirit being. And so when God made Adam, he was a spirit being because he was made in the likeness of God. He was a spirit being. But then later God came and the Bible uses interesting language. It says God formed him out of the dust of the earth. What happened was there's a verb in the Hebrew that means God squeezed him into form. God took clay and he squeezed him into being. And there he was, a dead body. And then something very interesting happened. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2. So you keep your place there in 1 Corinthians. We're coming back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So that's what happened. Now remember, people ask me, now where was Adam before he had his body? Well, he was in God. He was in God. And so then God came and he breathed him into that body, and that body became a living being. That breath brought life into this body. There was Adam into his body, and he became a living being. But he was alone. But remember, Genesis 1 verse 26 tells us, and verse 27, that when God made them, he made them male and female. Yeah. In the spirit, there they were. Now we have Adam, but we don't have Eve. Where is Eve now?
In the spirit.
Eve is in Adam. Eve is in Adam. Now we read another interesting thing, also there in chapter 2, and verse 21. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now the verb there, it says, he made into a woman, was in the Hebrew actually means he built the woman. He built the woman. Man was squeezed into being, but woman was built. But now, where did she come from? Out of Adam, right? She was in Adam, and God took her out of Adam and gave her a body. Now remember that, because in all of this, there's something that points to the future that we need to know and understand. There's something in there, in what God did there, that we need to understand when it comes to the time that we live in. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, there is first Adam. His bride came out of him. And there they were. So now I already told you that God put them in the garden. The wonderful thing about that time of man is that they only knew good.
Right.
Evil was not known. No evil was known. Everything was ideal. That's how God created us to live. In circumstances that are ideal, and the blessing of God is there, and God is there himself just pouring his knowledge into Adam through fellowship. God came down and spent time with him and talked with him. I believe when I meditate on that, I can just see that God just pouring this wonderful revelation into Adam and his wisdom. God brought all the animals to Adam to name. Can you imagine the capacity of the man's mind to do that? Today they're very excited when they still find new species, but Adam knew them all back then. But when he sinned, all of that was gone. All of the ground was cursed. He had to work for everything, and very hard so. He was separated from God. Now he was on his own. He was on his own. And that is the condition of man in his natural state. Separated from God. Now that was not God's plan for man. There's one thing that I just appreciate that years ago I began to understand, and that is that the devil came and spoiled God's plan. But if God left it like that, that would mean victory to the devil. God was not going to leave it like that. His purposes cannot be foiled. His purposes cannot be derailed or destroyed. His purposes will all be fulfilled. Amen. They will all come to pass. And that's good news for us.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, sometimes people are confused because they just don't know that little bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. They just don't know that God made me with a purpose. And that purpose is good.
Amen.
There's fulfillment there when we step into our purpose and we begin to do what God created us to do.
Amen.
When we step out of it, that's when confusion comes. That's when misery comes. That's when the blessing departs, because God cannot bless what's wrong. God cannot bless man's plans, but he will bless his plans.
Yes.
And when we walk in his ways, then the blessing will be there. And so the sad history of man began. That day when man disobeyed God and walked away from him, did his own thing. Boy, and you can only read through all of the Old Testament and see what life is like when we live in disobedience to God. It's a sad history. Not God's plan. Not God's plan. And here's what happened. When man obeyed a fallen angel, he took on his image and became a fallen being himself and subjected himself to the one that he obeyed. That's a spiritual law. The one that you obey is the one that will rule over you. And so from that moment on, Adam had a new master. And you can just look around you and see what he has done to the world that we lived in. These ideal circumstances that were so beautiful and so blessed and so wonderful, with the presence of God all over the place, and all of that taken away, and the rest is history. You can just look around and see what the devil has done. Isn't it amazing that when things go wrong, people say, well, where's God in all of this? Well, man chased him out of his life. That's where God is in all of this. That is, and that's why when people come to him and become reconciled with him, then they step out of all of that and into God's plan and stop doing what the devil wants them to do. Destroy life, destroy everything around us. Just deplete the planet that God gave us, so beautiful, and made a mess of the whole thing. But now, I have a belief that sometimes shock people when they are religious, and that it goes like this. If the death of Christ on the cross could not take us back to where Adam was before he fell, then Christ died in vain. We have to understand that the plan of God will be fulfilled. God will take us back to that original plan that he had for man. But it was going to take something big to bring the plan back to where it was. And so God had to do something new. There was the head of a federal head of a race of people that once were alive but died. Once had a relationship with God but stepped out of it. Once obeyed God and received from him, now obeyed the devil and received from him. My mother always said, if you work for the devil, he'll pay you. And we found out what that meant. You don't want his wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He'll bring death to your relationships. He'll bring death to your marriage. He'll bring death to your finances. He'll bring death to your health. He'll bring death to your job, whatever. He'll kill everything. Jesus said he came to kill and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his nature, and that is what he always will do. There's the first Adam. And out of him, every one of us came. He is our forefather after the flesh. Now God is into restoring things. And that's good news.
Amen.
But it would take another Adam to do that. Another Adam would have to come to bring God's plan back to where it was supposed to go. So now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read from verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. We just read how all of that happened. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, I hear people say the second Adam is not the second Adam, it's the last Adam.
Yes.
Because there's not going to be another one.
Right.
He's the last Adam. There was the first Adam, and there's the last Adam. And this last Adam, the first Adam, we just read there earlier, that in him, all of us died. In him, all of us died. Paul writes to the Romans, and he says that all of us come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Nobody's good. God's not interested in good people. He's interested in people that come out of the last Adam. You got to be in the right race. You got to be the right kind. And you can only be the right kind if you're born out of the last Adam. So he's talking about the last Adam. And he says the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, because we were dead spiritually, but natural. And afterward, the spiritual. So all of us, we're just spirit, just natural beings, just people of the flesh, just living for the flesh, just living to satisfy the cravings of the flesh, what the flesh wants to do, all carnal stuff that separates us from God. And that's what people live for today if they don't have God in their lives. They just live to satisfy themselves.
Yep.
They just live to live a good life and have a happy life and enjoy the stuff that they do, and that's all they care about, because spiritually they're dead. They have no connection with God. There's no relationship with God, and there's no future in God. All of that destroyed. So, verse 46 says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth. I found it interesting as I studied Genesis that although Adam was made in the image of God and God's a spirit being, and we understand that Adam was a spirit being made in the image of God, after he fell, God spoke of him as flesh. Genesis chapter 3. He's talk about, and Genesis 6 and further down, he's talk about that as flesh. Spirit's dead. It's flesh. And all that man thinks today is that I'm flesh.
Yes.
And all he cares about is his flesh.
Yes.
There's no concern about spiritual things. Paul even says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. Because he cannot understand it. He thinks there is no such thing as a spiritual world. He thinks there is no such thing as a spirit being. He thinks so. Because all he thinks is flesh. But now, so the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now here's an interesting thing. We have the last Adam, but the second man. Why is that so? Well, I'll tell you why. Because after the second man was raised from the dead, you had the third man, the fourth man, the fifth man, and counting on and counting on, and we're in the billions now.
Yes.
He was the second man, but he was not the last man. New men would come in after him. New men would be born out of him. New ones would come out of him. Just come. All, as they surrender to him, New ones would come and follow after him. And so he's the second man. He says, he's the Lord from heaven. Now watch this. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Everybody that came out of Adam is just like him. They're concerned mostly about the dust that they live in. It's all about the dust. Make the dust feel good. Make the dust look good. Get the dust excited about stuff that mean nothing. And so that's all they live for is dust. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Boy, there's a good future coming here. Look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Amen. God has come full circle. We will have the image again that we were made of originally. The Apostle John writes about this. He says, when we see him, we will be like him. Amen. We will be just like him. And that's the exciting part about all of this, that the plan of God is still on track. Yes. We will still be what God made us to be. We are still, when we are in Christ, because we were born out of him, that image will be restored to its fullest glory. Amen. That's your future if you're in Christ.
Amen.
If you're not in Christ, your future is dust. Because you'll just come back, you go back to where you came from, out of dust. But if you came out of the heavenly man, that's where you'll be going back to when your body dies. You go back to your origins. There's a lovely verse. You don't have to go there. I'll just quickly read that. Colossians, if you're quick. We do things quickly here. Colossians chapter 3. And I'll just read from verse 9 to get the full context. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now watch. And have put on the new man. So that's what we are busy doing. We're busy putting on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
What man? The heavenly man.
Yes.
We will bear the image of the heavenly man. Watch. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This, when I read this, it just dawned on me, God closed the circle. We've come full circle. We, in Christ, we are remade in the image of the one that created us. I always see pictures. And here's the picture. When God recreated us in Christ, and he recreates us in his image, he's looking in the mirror and he's painting that painting over here, and he says, that is what you are going to look like. I'm creating you in my own image, because you're going to look like me. We're born out of him. Now, I want us to take a look at the last Adam. And I want to go to some places here in John chapter 19. Remember now what we said about the first Adam. John chapter 19. And verse 31. John 19 and verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. What they did was, if those on the crosses, remember there were two others with Jesus on the cross, if they were still alive, they broke their legs and had to suffocate them because they were hanging there and supported by their legs, and that's what they did. Verse 32, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, what does that mean? Let's look at that. That's the blood that purchased your redemption. That's the blood that set you free. That's the blood that flowed so that yours doesn't have to flow. But that's the blood that purchased the church from the world, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's that blood. What is the church? The bride of Christ. So here's the picture. When first Adam was asleep, God came and he took his bride out of his side. When the last Adam was on the cross, dead, sleeping, his bride came out of his side. And God already knew in the beginning that he was preparing a bride for his son, and that the bride would come out of his side. He would pay the price for that. He'll have to put him to sleep on that cruel cross so that out of his side, his bride would be able to come. But there's something else that we need to see, and I want to close with that. In John chapter 20 and verse 19. That was after Jesus was raised from the dead. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and that is the Sunday. Remember, Sabbath was the seventh day. Now, I don't want to go into that this morning, but some people still try to keep the Sabbath. But the Sabbath came out of the law. But we're not of the law, so we don't celebrate Sabbath day. Now, if you go back into the feasts of Israel, you'll see that on the day after the Sabbath, they had to wave an offering to God, the day after the Sabbath. That wave offering spoke of Jesus. That's the eighth day. So we are people of the eighth day, not the seventh day. We're eighth day people. Amen. We're not seventh day people. We're not of the law. I always need to mention that because people think, I find Gentiles still try to keep the law and talk of the law. The law was never given to the Gentiles. We're not Jews, we're Gentiles. The law was never given to us. And that's a whole story that I don't want to go into this morning. But don't worry about the law. Because the law had its commandments, and there were 10 of them, and people fight over them today in the Gentile world. But they forget that Jesus came and gave us 2 commandments. And those 2 commandments are bigger than the 10. Because they are of the heart. But and they're internal, out of our heart. The 10 commandments were external. You could do them or try to do them and want to do them and still hate God, because your heart could be filled with anything against God and still do the 10 commandments or try. But if you do the 2 commandments, you cannot do that. And the 2 commandments go like this: you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might and all of so, just as in the first one, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll never do anything that will bring any hurt or harm to him.
Amen.
Because you love him. And that's why the 2 commandments are bigger than the 10. And why don't we, I don't want to say fight, but why don't we have a fight over those 2? To have them installed everywhere. Have people live according to the 2 commandments. and their hearts filled with love for God and love for man, then nothing can go wrong. Yes. Nothing can go wrong. But okay, let's go back to scripture. Verse 19 again. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What happened there? What happened there is what happened in the garden. When God breathed life into dead Adam, Jesus came. And after he paid the price and opened the door, he took the curse from us. He took the wrath of God that was upon us because of our sins and our trespasses and put it on Christ and punished him for that. Now we're free to go. And now Paul writes there in Romans chapter 7, I believe. He says, he was raised because we were justified. Not because we were not guilty. We were guilty. But someone else paid the penalty. And when we were justified, we were ready to be brought back to life. And here comes the last Adam. What did we read about him? He's a life-giving spirit. And he comes and he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And there man is born again. A brand new creature born out of the last Adam. Now we part of another race. Before you can become born out of the last Adam, you got to die to the first Adam. You got to come to a place where you say, "I'm done with this life. I'm tired of living like this. And there's no hope. There's no faith. There's no future. The future is dust." And say, "I don't want to live like that." And die to yourself. Die to the cravings of the flesh and the demands of the flesh and all about the flesh. Just die to that. And say, "I receive that offering that Jesus brought. I acknowledge the fact that my death penalty has been paid by someone else. And I'm free to go." Now Jesus said, the Bible says, if we do that, if we come to him, then we are born again into a new creation. I'm a brand new man now. And here is the characteristic of the first Adam. He was alive, but he was born again into death. Here's the characteristics of the last Adam. He was dead, but he's alive. And we're born out of him. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we're made alive in him. So now we are of a new race. We were dead, but now we're alive because we came out of the last Adam. And we're a new race altogether. It's a new race. It's a new life. It's a new kind of person. A verse that I believe everyone should know. Every Christian should know. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Yes. Yes. We were all in the first Adam. We all came out of him dead as he was. But now we're in Christ and we're a new creation. Old things have passed away.
Yes. Amen.
Old nature that lived for itself died. It's gone. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
All things have become new. And now it's a new resurrection for every one of us. And that's what we celebrate today. This is Resurrection Day. Boy, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but you don't you forget, you have a resurrection of your own.
Amen.
To celebrate. We were made alive together with him. Bible says we were raised up together with him. Wherever he is, we are, because we are in him.
Amen.
And a new truth comes that we need to live by. Boy, and I tell you, if there's one thing that Christianity needs to catch, it's this. Discover who you are in Christ.
Amen.
My, I tell you, people think they just became religious. That's as dead as Adam was. But now we new creations, and we are born in him, and we have a new identity. And most Christians don't know who they are in Christ. They think, I just go to church once in a while. Oh, no. There's much more than that. Now you have hope. You have a future. The same glory that was on Jesus. In John chapter 17, he said to the Father, he said, the glory that you gave me, I have given them. Psalm 8, I believe, says, he crowned us with glory and honor. That's the goal.
Amen.
That's the goal. Not to live like people of dust, but to live like people who have a future of looking like him. And so now we do what the Apostle Paul says to the Colossians. We are busy putting on the new man. Every day we put on the new man. Every day we put on the new man. Next year, you ought to look different than you look today, because you're putting on the new man. You're putting on the new man. And one day when you see him, you will be like him. You will be like him. Let me tell you, the devil could not spoil God's plans. We are going to be like him.
Amen.
We're not there yet, but we're not where we used to be.
Amen.
We changed. And we continue to change as we learn from him, as we draw close to him. We keep on changing and changing and changing. And you know what the Bible says? If we look into the scripture as in a mirror, says we will be changed from glory to glory. The process is active. It's active. And this is what we celebrate today, the Resurrection Day. Boy, I tell you, when Pastor John mentioned about where he came from, we were all sinners, even us who grew up in the church. We were all sinners. We were religious sinners, but we were sinners. And we had to come a day, there had to come a day when we had to do what everybody else has to do and say, I lay down that life.
Amen.
And I step into newness of life.
Amen.
And that's the day when everything changed. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that. We're a new creation. We are new creation beings in Christ, because now we're born out of the last Adam.
Amen.
Now, I want us to just close your eyes just for a minute. Let's bring this home to every one of us. Let's just bring this home to every one of us. You know, this is not about a sermon. This is not about being in a church service. This is about life. This is about the future. That is what this is all about. And every one of us are in the same boat. A day will come when your body will die. That day is coming. That's one thing that you will not escape. That day is coming for every one of us. And we need to make sure that when that separation takes place, that we don't just return to dust, but we return to the one that made us. And that decision is ours to make. You decide. That's your life. God gave you a free will. You decide where your future is going to be. That's your decision. And this morning, I want to ask you that question. Where are you going? Where are you heading? You're heading back to the dust? Or are you heading back to the one that created you? Where are you going? That's a decision that every one of us must make individually. Some people say, well, there's enough time for that. Well, you don't know. You just don't know if you'll be around tomorrow. You have no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. You don't know. The Bible says today is the day of decision. Today is the day of the grace of God. Today is the day that we need to make up our mind. Today is the day. Why would we put off a decision to be recreated in the one that created us with all its wonderful potential and glorious future to live one more day to satisfy the dust? And this morning, if you have not reason to celebrate your own resurrection, this is an opportunity to do so. And I want to invite you, while every eye is closed, there's no point in looking around, because this is about you and not the one next to you. I would like for you to think about that, so that you can make a quality and an informed decision. Not a decision based on feelings, but one based on truth. If you cannot celebrate your own personal resurrection, but you would like to, that can happen this morning. I would just like everyone who needs to do that to quickly raise your hand. If you need to be born again, if you need to be born out of the last Adam, then this morning, all you need to do is raise your hand. And we would like to pray with you this morning. That's all you need to do, is raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm done with that, living for the dust." Apostle Peter calls that an aimless life. Just aimless living. I'm tired of aimless living. Thank you. Thank you. You can put down your hands. Just tired of aimless living. Just living for myself and spent my life on things that just don't matter. Things that just don't matter. Wasting life on things that just don't matter. That can change. It can change today. I'm going to make one more invitation this morning. All you need to do is quickly raise your hand. Quickly raise your hand. Thank you. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is still doing what it always did, and that is to run after us, to bring us back to life, to bring us into reconciliation with you. I thank you for the hands that went up. Lord, and I pray this morning that this decision will do what you want to do. Introduce newness of life. And thank you, Lord, for the new life in Christ. And today we declare all things have passed away. We lay aside those old things and we step into newness of life in Christ Jesus. We receive that new life. Hallelujah. Amen.